Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. It's time to talk to Will Carroll, our injury expert. But first, let's hear Andy Reid once again with his injury update that he gave at yesterday's press conference.
All right, just as far as injuries go, Larry has a strained or sprained knee. It's day-to-day. And we'll just see how he does here. D Ford is making progress, but will not practice today. And Mitch Morse is again with the sprained foot is making progress, but he won't practice. Everybody else will be out here.
Okay, so that's what Andy Reid had to say. We've already asked Will Carroll about Mitch Morse in the past. And Will, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing very well. There you heard Andy Reid talking about Laurent Duvernay-Tardif and D. Ford. D. Ford missed the Monday Night Football game because of his back, and they said he's making some progress. But the more immediate concern is starting guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, because starting center Mitch Morse is already out, and they've been waiting on the return of their other starting guard, at least their guard last year, Parker Anger, who was hurt, tore an ACL last year and is still working his way back. And so things are starting to get a little bit thin on that interior offensive line. Based on what you saw maybe on Monday Night Football and what you heard Andy Reid say there, what is your opinion of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif's knee injury?
Yeah, it's going to be tough because you've got to have a stable base. They do a lot of stunts. They do a lot of pulling. But even so, you've got to be able to stand up, push back against the push that a defensive lineman or a linebacker on a blitz is going to have. It's just going to be really tough. That said, obviously, the Chiefs have done pretty well fighting through these injuries, largely because Alex Smith, his style, the way that offense is set up, he doesn't have to stand back there in the pocket like a statue. Tom Brady would have a terrible time with this kind of issue. Andrew Luck has had a terrible time with this kind of issue. But I think Alex Smith, they'll just roll him out more. He'll scramble a little bit quicker and they'll adjust. So I don't think this, I mean, it certainly affects the team, but I don't think this cripples the team.
You mentioned Andrew Luck. Let's get into quarterbacks. Oh, there's a lot of quarterback issues. And I'll go ahead and start with, I'm keeping him on my roster. He's throwing passes now. What's the latest?
He's back at practice. We actually saw him throwing a football for the first time. And things actually, from the very limited video that we got of that, looked very good. He seemed happy afterwards. He's not going to practice today. That was planned. He's going to practice again on Friday. Definitely not going to play this week. I would say we're still looking at the earliest to see him is week 6. But once we see him, I think that's it. I think he comes back. I don't think there's certainly not going to be any quarterback controversy. But once that shoulder is healthy, assuming they keep him upright, and there's a lot of injuries on that Colts line, and it's bad when it's healthy, he should be fine from this. He gave a new detail saying that he had a posterior repair, which does take a little bit longer. It's a little bit surprising given how he injured it. But certainly everything's now on a track that we can see, and we can, it's not just pure speculation anymore with Andrew Luck. We can make a really solid, educated guess about when he's going to be back and what to expect.
We've got some other quarterback issues to talk about, but first I want to get to tonight's Thursday Night Football matchup because people have to get their lineup set. It's New England and Tampa Bay. Rob Gronkowski listed as questionable but expected to play. Would you have any reservations at all about starting Rob Gronkowski tonight?
Yes and no. I would start him, unless I had one of the other top tight ends as a possibility, because I do think he's going to be significantly limited. I don't think they're going to risk him too much, but Gronkowski catches so many touchdowns that if he had one of those Antonio Gates days of 2 catches for 20 yards and 2 touchdowns, you're going to be pretty happy with the results. So I think they're going to use him in situations where he can be more impactful. but they're hoping to get him through this without any setbacks, to use that long week they get next week to try to heal him up some more. Tonight is the night where I think we figure out whether Dwayne Allen, a guy who a lot of people thought was going to fill right into that Martellus Bennett role, whether he's going to be involved at all. Because so far, he's vanished. He was a guy I grabbed in a lot of fantasy leagues as a late-round flyer. I thought a lot of people were sleeping on him, but it turns out it was Bill Belichick that was sleeping on him, or at least Josh McDaniel. So we'll have to see. If he doesn't do anything tonight, he's going to be on a waiver wire tomorrow.
Anything else that stands out to you as far as matchups or maybe players that you particularly like in this matchup between the Pats and the Bucs?
No, I like pretty much everybody offensively because neither of these teams has shown they can do much on defense. You know, the Patriots' defense is a mess right now, and it'll be very interesting to see just how far Jameis Winston has come. He's got two great weapons in Evans and Jackson. I think they should be able to light things up. He's got two good tight ends in Braid and Howard. They're continuing to really develop, and we'll see whether that turns into a real tandem or whether O.J. Howard takes over like people think he will. And for the Patriots, you know, it's tough on a fantasy basis. You never know exactly how they're going to score. You know Tom Brady's going to do things, but you don't know, you know, is it going to be Gronkowski? Is it going to be Hogan? Is it going to be Gillislee? You don't know where he's going to spread the ball around. It's a lot like Drew Brees in that you know he is going to have big numbers, but he might have seven receivers with decent numbers, and that'll kill you in fantasy.
Okay, let's get back to those quarterbacks now, Will. And the one that matters, not just from a fantasy perspective, but for the division that the Chiefs play in, Derek Carr. The news came out on Monday that he's got the broken transverse process. What stands out to me about this is they're listing it as a 2 to 6 week recovery period. I feel like we always hear language in terms of 2 to 4 weeks or 4 to 8 weeks. 2 to 6. Tell me about this window, and that's quite a variance. The matter of months, apparently, that it could be.
Yeah, we've seen this kind of injury before in quarterbacks, and it's two very different situations. I mean, the one that everybody's talking about is Tony Romo, and Tony Romo had this not once but twice, and missed about 6 weeks. They extended it out a little bit more. So if they can't clear up the spasm, if the break doesn't start to heal cleanly, then it's going to be a while. On the other hand, there was a situation, I think, 3 years ago with Cam Newton. Cam Newton was in a car accident. His truck was rear-ended. There was big question about whether he was going to miss time, and it turned out he played that week. He wore a pretty specific brace, but never really had any trouble with it. So this is going to come down to function and pain tolerance. So we'll have to see how Carr goes. There's no way they're going to do it this week. They've got to at least give it some time to start healing so that they can see on the x-rays that the bone is starting to stitch itself back together. But this one just feels like it's going to go on the longer end of this. I'm not going to say it's the full 6 weeks or longer, but I just can't see them rushing him back, even if E.J. Manuel is as bad as I expect.
What about Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, hamstring injury for a mobile quarterback is pretty bad. My question is, why did this happen? And we'll never know. Even the athletic trainers and doctors down there don't know. But you watch him run, he's just running tentatively. And that makes me wonder, is he just kind of a little bit scared because of that broken leg last year? You don't want to have that happen again, but it's not likely. Did something change in his gait? He's changed shoes this year. That could be it. There are a lot of different things. He's just not running well. And when you see somebody not running well and then coming up with muscular injuries, you do worry a bit. He's going to be a game time decision, technically, but I think they're going to know, sometime today and game plan ahead of that, and it ends up Brandon Wheaton, and they deserve it. Anybody that hires that guy at this stage of the game, we know exactly who he is and what he can't do. The thing he can do is pick up an offense quickly, apparently. I was talking to people yesterday. I was like, Brandon Wheaton again, really? And they're like, man, he picks up a playbook quick. I'm like, yeah, but he can't do anything once he knows it. and everybody hemmed and hawed. But we're just going to have to find a quarterback that can actually play. I just wish there was one out there.
Yeah, no, what he can do is he can stand during a national anthem. That's what he can do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, apparently that's, having two healthy legs is a good thing.
So that'll get you a job. Minnesota Vikings quarterback Sam Bradford has been out 4 weeks with a day-to-day injury. They keep listing his day-to-day with his knee injury. When do you think he's going to come back, and could it be this weekend?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Here's the thing. They've got to get this. He goes out, he has activity, the knee swells up. Well, you can't do that. You can't go back-to-back. If that swells up and at halftime he has to come out, that's certainly a bad situation for the Vikings offense. So they've got to get this knee under control, not just in the short term, but for the long term. If this is at a point where they can't get it back under control, this becomes career-threatening. And they've had a hard time with this. Now, this is a staff that's had a lot of experience with this. You think back to Adrian Peterson. He has significant swelling in his knees after activity, but they've been able to get on a program and maintain it. You see this across sports, and we're really seeing it with this generation more than any else because, from the late 80s through the 90s into the early 2000s, meniscus surgery was just this miracle. What was a terrible injury. I mean, think back. How many times have you heard about Joe Namath and his bad knees? Mm-hmm. He had a meniscus tear. That's all it was. He didn't blow up his knee like some of these guys. He had a meniscus tear. So the same does have longer term consequences in that if you take that cartilage out, then you have bone on bone contact, which leads to arthritis, which leads to swelling, which leads to more and more damage, which down the road is problematic. Really good in the short term, really bad in the long term. So it's kind of a pay me now or pay me later thing. With all of this, we've gotten better at realizing, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe we should repair the meniscus and sit out and, trying to get back in a week or two. So this is just going to be, all the things that the Vikings medical staff are trying to get this under control. They could get it under control tomorrow, or heck, you've seen it's taken 4 weeks to this point. They've got to be running out of ideas. So this is getting more and more concerning as it takes longer and longer.
All right, we've got lots of running backs to talk about. Let's stick with Minnesota. A very disappointing injury to Dalvin Cook for fantasy football players everywhere. And so he's out for the rest of the year. I don't know if there's any comments you want to make about Dalvin Cook. But
he'll be back next year, and it's just too bad that these still happen. The fact that more teams aren't doing significant ACL prevention programs is beyond me.
Who do you pick up in that backfield?
McKinnon. He's the one with experience. I think they'll turn to him. They're going to have to run more, obviously, even if they get Bradford back. But they're passing really well right now, so hopefully you get McKinnon in there. He catches a couple passes out of the backfield. He's able to run between the tackles. He just seems like the better fit right now.
Everyone recently picked up Chris Carson across the fantasy football universe, and of course now he goes on IR. Is he done for the year?
Looks that way. The question now is what associated damage. Yeah, he has a broken ankle. We could all see that when it was pointed backwards. I mean, just ugly, terrible, traumatic injury. But the question is, what else happened? Bones heal. If you tell me somebody has a broken leg, I felt bad because I tweeted out, best case scenario is he's got a broken leg. And that's not exactly best. But, in relative terms, it is. The question is whether the ligaments, the tendons, especially what we call the high ankle, the syndesmotic ligament, if that's completely torn, as some reports say they're worried about and they're waiting for the swelling to come down to get a good look at it, that's completely torn. That's a really tough one to come back from. It would definitely be a season ender, and that's a career changer.
All right, let's spend some time on the Green Bay Packers for just a moment. Ty Montgomery leaves with a rib injury, and then Jamal Williams comes in, and he leaves with a knee injury. But it looks like Jamal Williams was back at practice yesterday, and then we all saw what happened to Davante Adams. So if you would comment on those three Green Bay Packers players.
Yeah, Adams is a simple concussion at this stage, which is lucky given that nasty, dirty hit. I hate the fact that suspension was reduced, but I guess the fact that there's a suspension at all is something, and hopefully we'll see less and less of these. We've got to get to a point where we do something about these even more significant, because if you watch across football, we're not getting rid of guys lowering their heads. There was a play in that game, I forget who it was, but a player lowered his head, hit the receiver going out of bounds, and then knocked himself out. And I'm like, that's what you get. But for all this talk about heads-up football and everything else, it's not sticking to the players. So we're going to see more and more of this. We're going to have to see innovation take over, I think. I've always said technology is the only thing that can save the NFL from head injury. And if you haven't seen it, you know, Alex Smith is wearing this Visus helmet. Looks pretty good so far. I mean, great test results. There's some guys wearing it in the NFL. I'm really excited about that one especially.
Well, can you tell us more about that helmet?
Yeah.
A little bit more in depth?
It's basically a new helmet. I did a podcast, if you want to hear more from the founder and what it does. It works like a safer barrier. There's an area in between the shell of the helmet and the part that the inner shell that sits around your head that can actually deform a little bit and twist. And it's often that twisting motion. You know, if you watch boxing and see a guy hit on the chin and his neck spins around, that's where that torsion on the brain actually does more damage, and you see guys just go limp. So it helps with that. There's a cushion in between the inner and outer shell. And it gets great test results. There are very few of them. It's a brand new company out of Seattle. I know Smith is wearing it. I know Doug Baldwin is wearing it. I think there's about 10 guys in the NFL that are wearing it. And I hope it gets quick adoption, not just the NFL, but every level, if it continues to get good results. And obviously, that's the key.
Okay, and you were going to comment on the Green Bay Packers running back situation.
Yeah. I think the one I'm watching most is Ty Montgomery with the ribs. You know, there are, again, this is an equipment question to me, there are Kevlar and foam pads out there from companies like Unequal. Tony Romo mentioned this on his game the other day, that it's a Kevlar shield that he wore that really helped him when he broke his ribs. So I don't know why more people aren't wearing better gear. I see these guys out there with almost no knee pads. You see shoulder pads that are significantly smaller. We're seeing more chest injuries because there's less padding on that chest piece of the shoulder pads. I would be out. I'd look like Iron Man if I could. So if Ty Montgomery gets the right rib guards, I think he could play this week. The rest of them, you know, Williams is back at practice, and that's certainly good to see. But I think it's obviously Montgomery who's the most talented of that bunch.
So the Atlanta Falcons are dealing with some injuries at the wide receiver position. Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu are coming off injuries. Jones seems to be the one that is more of a day-to-day type situation. Do you think they'll have him this weekend?
Going to be close. They think they're on track for this, talking to people with the Falcons organization. But the one thing Julio Jones doesn't have is durability. He's had foot problems. Sanu has had leg problems on and off. It's not uncommon for a speed receiver like him. I mean, he's a bigger speed receiver, but so is Julio. When those two are healthy, man, there's nobody better. But getting them both on the field is tough. One thing I'm watching pretty closely is this Atlanta stadium. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is amazing looking, but like most turf stadiums, it's way up on the list. Zach Binney did some great research on which stadiums and field surfaces had the most injuries. Atlanta's obviously new, but it also has the complicating factor of being a dual team stadium, which is unusual in this day and age. It used to be, you know, you'd have dual sports at almost every stadium, but they share it with the Atlanta United, and keeping that field turf prepped is going to be pretty key for them, because when you take a look at it, you know, Indianapolis and their stadium head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of injuries on the negative side, but I think it was three of the top five were field turf stadiums or artificial turf stadiums. And the preparation of that is pretty key. For a guy like Julio Jones with a long history of foot problems, that could be really, really problematic.
All right, before we let you go, tell people how they can listen to the podcast that you referenced earlier.
Yeah, my podcast is called The Motus Show, MOTUS. You can find that on iTunes or Overcast or wherever you get podcasts. And I want to say it was like episode 7 or 8 where we talked to Sam Broud, who's an engineer and physician who was one of the co-founders of the company Vysys. You can also find them. I think their website is Vysys.co, no M on that, and it's V-I-C-I-S.
Will, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. Yeah, I'll tweet out the link to that show for you as well.
Oh, and I will be happy to retweet it when you send that out. Thanks. That is Will Carroll. You can follow him on Twitter, injury expert. Very interesting stuff about the type of helmet that Alex Smith is wearing, and hopefully that will continue to protect him. As remember last year, he had some issues after taking a couple of hits, and hopefully this helmet will prevent that from happening again. And we will retweet that out. You can follow Will Carroll at injury expert is his handle. Back after this on WHB.